This is God's Word coming to you from Christ Family Ministry, the best place to be where love is king. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.
Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 16, John 16, 12. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, and has He come? You say, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, into all reality. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Say amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 8 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9 says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Amen. You see, as Christians, we are never without an advantage. It's very obvious today that there's a lot of uncertainty. People are anxious. People want to know why things happen the way they happen. People want to know how they can change, how situations can change. People also want to know the future. Because if you know something about the future, you can make preparations today. Are you with me? So people are looking for answers. And the more people seek answers, there's a limit to which the natural man can provide answers. Because you come to a place where you have exhausted all the options that your mind can conjure up. Are you mean? You've come to a place, sometimes we come to situations in our life where we feel, well, this is the best I can think of. This is how far I can go. At that moment, we begin to look for the extra to find means and ways of solving problems. Is someone listening to me? So we see people turning to the supernatural in a bid to escape the events and circumstances that they find themselves. And that's the reason it's even very popular these days, normal to go even on websites and meet with psychics. People use all forms of people visit spiritists, the native doctors, witch doctors, are you getting me? Palm readers. People even are more attached to their zodiac signs like never before because they want to know. I'm Capricorn, the goat. I'm Sagittarius, I'm Libra, I'm Virgo, because we look to the constellation of the stars to find answers. I remember many years ago, I didn't even know what these whole star things were about. And somebody asked me, he said, Pastor Rami, what's your star? Because it's normal to open pages of the newspaper and people go to check their star and what your star is saying concerning the week. So someone asked me, we were feeling like a slum book, and he said, Pastor Raymond, what's your star? I said, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He said, no, we're not talking Bible now. What's your star? I said, I don't know. He said, when were you born? I said, 4th January. He brought out this particular book. He ran through it. I said, oh, you're Capricorn the goat. And it didn't go down well because it was not funny. Because of all animals, not goats. But people follow it. Now, we might be quick to condemn such people because Scripture actually condemns the use of medium to find answers. But it only shows something. The heart of man is desperately yearning for answers. And when people become ignorant of what God has provided for them, the devil opens a door for them to discover what God has already made available to them. Is somebody with me? That's why in John chapter 16, verse 13, where we read, he says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, when Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, he introduced him as the Spirit of truth. Truth means reality. Truth means clarity. Truth means revelation. So one of the first things that Jesus did in introducing the Holy Spirit to us is that when he comes, he will guide us. So the Holy Spirit is a worthy guide. Is somebody with me? That if you have the Holy Spirit, then it's actually an aberration, an affront on God for the new believer, for somebody who is in Christ Jesus to be consulting medium. You don't have to sneak at night to go anywhere in search of answers. Are you listening to me? He says, when the Spirit of truth has come, and the good news is this, he has come. He hasn't gone back. He says he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So we have a Spirit that can tell us things to come. There's a Spirit that can always keep us prepared for the future. One of the things Bible tells us is that when a man is not led by God, when a man is not sensitive to the things of God, he becomes like prey to the snare of Satan. Because, listen to me, the world we are living in, whether we like it or not, the devil is constantly setting traps. He's constantly looking for who he can take prey, make his prey. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary. So you have an adversary. The devil goes around like a roaring lion. He didn't say he's a roaring lion. The Bible says it's like one. Why is he called a roaring lion? Because he's setting traps. He's shouting. He's making noise, distraction, seeking whom he may devour. So constantly you see your life. It's as though there's one issue. After this issue, another one is shouting there. After this one is over, another one is shouting there. Issues are always shouting. But the Bible says your work is not to be distracted by the shout of Satan. Is to be sober, is to be vigilant, is to be focused. Are we together? And the person that keeps you in perspective and makes sure the devil never has a hand in your life is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he can tell you things to come. That's why, hello, it doesn't matter what happens in the economy. When we have a word from God, the Holy Spirit is actually giving us a picture that circumstances cannot paint. Imagine, glory, God, through the Holy Spirit, we'll see in scriptures time without number. Even when it looks like nothing is happening, we'll speak a word to someone, and that word will change the expected outcome of that natural situation. When Moses was standing in front of the Red Sea, you know, it looked as though this is our end. Because when you have a Red Sea in front of you, and you have the armies of Pharaoh coming behind you, you know, no amount of military strength can help at that moment. No amount of technology. Where are you going to get someone to help you build a bridge at that time to cross that river? You get what I'm saying? And then to think, if, yes, you might say, well, Moses was a retired general, but not a tired one. But these people he was bringing out of slavery are people who have been slaves all their lives. Where do you have the time to begin to organize military training for them to combat an aggrieved army of people who basically have lost one or two people who were firstborns? So at that moment, there is no amount of military intervention that can help. You understand what I'm saying? But look at the word God gave by His Spirit. That's why I said the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. The Holy Spirit now spoke. God spoke through His Spirit to Moses. Stand still. Tell the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians that they see today, they will see no more. What do you have in your hand? Is that holding a rod? It says, stretch it forth and divide the Red Sea. That means there is no situation that is an absolute where the Holy Ghost is. He has a picture for the future. He has a word. He will show you things to come. And I've discovered that if you know things that will come, you are in an advantage position. If you know things to come, if you know, some of you, if you know what's going to happen tomorrow, you will know what to do today. If you know what's going to happen in 6 months, but one of the limitations of man is that he's not infinite in knowledge. So he's limited. So we hear people say, well, nobody knows tomorrow. But the truth is this, we know the one who knows tomorrow. And the Bible says the one who knows tomorrow will be with us. So nothing should take us unaware. Say amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1. So we must desist as believers from any form of consulting witch doctors. Someone said, are you talking to believers? You see what Paul said. The first letter of 1 Corinthians 12 was to believers. It is so funny how some Christians still go to native doctors. You know why they do that? They don't know what they have. Ignorance is the reason for misapplied steps. Now, concerning what? Spiritual gifts. Brethren, are they brethren here? I do not want you to be ignorant. Then look at the next thing he says. We'll be going around this scripture a lot. Amen. He says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to who? These dumb idols, however they were led. That means they were influenced by idols. They were pagans. Are you getting me? He says, and if they wanted something, they will lead them to these idols. That's why some people have been Christians, but they still believe that their forefathers speak to them. I remember some years ago, a man was talking to me about how his son was disrespecting him. And he said, look, Harame, you better talk to this, my son, to respect me as the father. Because I used to respect my father. And that's why up to today, he appears to me in the dream. I said, that's not your father. Someone said, what's that? That's a demon spirit taking the form of your father and showing up. Even scripture tells us that the devil can come as an angel of light. Your son shouldn't disrespect you. Your son should give you the place of honor as a father. But when you are gone, you are not. You see, some things people hold on to is when they leave, they will discover that there's nothing like that. You don't appear to sons. You don't need to be involved in necromantic practices to know. Some people want to know their loved ones. So you go to witches to wake them up and say, speak to me. Every time I see some of those things we do in Africa, we throw cowries around and say, fathers, talk. You're just conjoining demons. You're just invoking demons. There's only one father. He's God the Father. And he has a mighty voice. Amen. So he said they were led to dumb idols. However, they were led. What Paul is saying is, the same way they used to lead you to idols, to consult. Are you getting me? It's the same way I want to introduce you to a higher person. It's the same way I want you to understand spiritual things. That the same way people used to go and consult from idols, now that you have the Holy Ghost, you can consult here also. Amen. Are we getting it? You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, let's go there, Deuteronomy 18, God warns us strongly against the practice of... See, let me tell you something. You don't need charms to make progress in life. You don't need the devil. Proverbs 10:22 says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich adds no sorrow. What that scripture also means is that the blessing of the devil can make rich and introduce every sorrow. Now, Deuteronomy 18, look at verse 12. Deuteronomy 18, yeah, from verse 10. The Bible says, can we read the Message translation so that nobody is hearing thou sayest? No. Don't you dare sacrifice your son or daughter in the fire. Don't practice divination, sorcery, fortune telling, witchery, casting spells. Are you getting me? Holding stances or channeling with the dead. Then he says, people who do these things are an abomination to God. It's because of just such abominable practices that God, your God, is driving these nations out before you. So don't be involved in practices. See, don't be involved in practices that are abominable to God, because it's those things, it's those places that they are trying to get in their strength that God is giving to you through the cross. You say, you know that man, suddenly he just stumbled into this wealth. You know that guy, suddenly things just changed for him. You now meet the guy and say, okay, can I learn this thing? How do you? The Bible says no. You know why? What that guy is looking for is what God is bringing you into. The end does not justify the means. So gross ignorance has kept people struggling. And the Bible says, desist from such things. Verse 13, quickly, it says, look at what he says. Be completely loyal to God, your God. Verse 14. Though these nations that you're about to run out of the country consult with sorcerers and witches, but not you. God, your God, forbids it. Then he says, so you don't need to go and consult any witch doctor for a husband. And listen, you don't need any love potion to keep any man. You don't need any ring you can be turning like this. The devil has no babies. So if you think you met him and he gave you something, you are living in an illusion. Say, there's a way the man is being. I want to tie him down. The day he's losing. I was in Zambia and I went to this countryside village to go and preach. So there was a lady there. She had been born again for a while. But her husband ran, left her with two kids. And in the course of the service, the power of God came upon her and I ministered to her. Amen. Because she wanted her husband to come back, she's a Christian. She started dabbling into the occult. Because she was visiting witch doctors, trying to find out why the husband wasn't coming back home. And the man left her, and they were in Lusaka. She said they are not seen, I think in about 4 or 5 years. And people keep telling her, we saw your husband here. We saw your husband here. We saw your husband here. The man was moving to and fro the earth, you know. So in the course of the service, the power of God came upon her. I prayed for her. And then, you know, light came to her. And she opened up to her pastor, not to me. She said, something happened to me this morning in this service. God visited me again. God touched me. He said, I have peace in my heart. And she opened up and brought out she went home, brought the articles, her charms, and everything, and she threw them away. The things that the Sangoma gave her, the juju, their own version of juju, man, gave to her. And, you know, the following day on Monday, the pastor came to my hotel room, Reverend Max, and said, Pastor Arame, you need to hear this testimony. The Lord was mightily at work on Sunday. Praise God. The man entered his car, packed his things, and drove home and sat down in the living room like he has never traveled. Like he never left the house. Continued his conversation as though they saw the night before. And she was wondering, is he okay? It was then it dawned on the man that the lady he was with had cast a spell on him. So these 4 years, he didn't know where he was. And he came home completely whole, seated in one place, asking of his children, and even asking for food. The woman was too scared and said, "Pastor must come and talk and pray with him." But there's nothing that escapes the power of God. You understand? There's nothing that escapes the power of God. So you don't need all those things. Now, what God told them in the Old Testament is, instead of going to sorcerers and trying to conjure forces and use medium, I will give you something. He said, "I will give you prophets." Do you understand? So he said, God, your God, is going to raise up a prophet for you. That means in place of all these sorcerers, he said, he's going to raise a prophet for you. God will raise him up from among your kinsmen, a prophet like me. Who is talking? Moses. Moses is saying, look, you don't need to go to these people to consult things. God will raise someone like me from among you, a prophet. Listen obediently to him. Now, I'm not going to go into details about this, but this scripture is actually talking primarily about who? It's talking about Jesus, because there's the spirit of Christ through which prophecy operates. That's, go to 1 Peter chapter 1, quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. How many of you know Jesus is a prophet? It is Jesus who said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. That means he's a prophet. He sees for us. Do you know, he lived as a prophet. Come on. His disciples never had anything to worry about while he was with them. If it was time to pay bills, he would know how to figure it out. If they were in a storm, they knew how to wake him up. Do you remember any time they come and it's time to pay ministry bills? Who do they turn over to? The prophet. Jesus. Uh-huh. We need to pay bills. And Jesus always had an answer. Amen. Sometimes he would say, okay, guys, go to the riverside. Listen to me. Jesus always had money. His ways might not always be conventional, but the money always came. Sometimes at the fishing point, say, go and cast your net. The first if you catch, open it, open its mouth. There's going to be money inside. Whoa. So imagine that kind of man who constantly solves your problem. If he begins to tell you that I'm about to leave, you will cry. Especially if you're in Abuja. Amen. So it wasn't good news. It wasn't good news when Jesus started talking about living. Living to where? You have to be with us. That is why he said in John 16, don't be of a heavy heart. When I go, I will send you another comforter. Meaning that when the Holy Ghost comes, are you getting me? You will not miss me. But this is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1:10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ. Is this Spirit of Christ that Scripture is talking about in the book of Deuteronomy? Are you getting me? That I will raise a prophet for you, just like me, who will speak for you. Him you must listen. So if you look through the Old Testament, every person that prophesied was prophesying the Spirit of the Christ. And this is how you will know the Spirit of the Christ. Go back to Deuteronomy 18. This is how you will know. From that verse 15. Listen to him. Verse 16 now says, we are laying a foundation. Next week, we are going to continue. This is what you asked God, your God, for at Horeb, on the day you were all gathered at the mountain and said, we can't hear anymore from God. Our God, we can't stand seeing any more fire. We'll die. Continue. And God said to me, they are right. Amen. They've done what? They've spoken the truth. I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from their kinsmen. I'll tell him what to say. Remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? He will hear from me and he will speak to you. So he says, God, I'll raise a prophet. I'll tell him what to say and he will pass on to them everything I command him. Notice. And anyone who won't listen to my words spoken by him, I will personally hold responsible. But any prophet who fakes it, any prophet who does what? Who fakes it and claims to speak in my name something I haven't commanded him to say, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet must die. So people didn't easily take on the office of prophet in the Old Testament because people were ready with their stones if there's no fulfillment of the thing said. But the next verse now tells us, you may be wondering among yourselves, how can we tell the difference whether it was God who spoke or not? Here's how. If what the prophet spoke in God's name doesn't happen, then obviously God wasn't behind it. The prophet made it up. Forget about him. Listen now. So what did they have in the Old Testament? Since you can't consult medium, you can't consult sorcerers, you know what God said? I will raise you a prophet. Then I will put my words in his mouth. It is now your responsibility to hear what he says. And the way you will know that I'm the one that sent him is that what he says comes to pass. Now, comes to pass means be patient to see it come to pass. Do you understand me now? So in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Bible. They had the prophet. The prophet spoke to them. That's why if they wanted to know something about their lives, they went to who? They went to the prophet. How many of you remember in the book of, that was 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. The Bible says when Saul's donkeys were missing, he got a little gift, him and his servant, and went to see Samuel, the prophet. Because the Bible says he who is now called the prophet in those times was called the seer. So seer used to walk in the Old Testament. If you wanted to know God's will for your life, God's direction for your life, God's future, God will anoint a prophet to speak it. If he doesn't speak, you can go and see him. Then the prophet will do what? Will speak God's mind to you. Why? The prophet was given as a guide in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have received the Holy Spirit. God now dwells in us. The prophet in the New Testament is not a guide. He's a gift. Do you get the difference? You see, the word prophet is a generic term. The word prophet is actually a generic term for men of God. A man of God is somebody who speaks as God. See, I am a man of God, not just a pastor. I'm a man of God. So I say, you're a man of God. Yes. What is the meaning of man of God? A man that is of God. He hears from God and he speaks. I hear from God and I speak. I remember when somebody met me and said, Pastor, we're just having a conversation. And as we're talking, I said, I don't think that you're going to do is going to work. He said, Pastor, don't cause this thing. I need your agreement. I need your agreement. I need your agreement on this thing. I said, no, I will not speak contrary to what I hear in my heart. So he now came back and he asked me, he said, were you serious about what you were saying? Pastor, be honest. Were you serious that the thing won't work? I said, I don't know. As you were telling me, I didn't see it working. He said, well, can't we agree in faith in the name of Jesus? I said, God says something will not work. Who are we agreeing with? Who are we talking to? Well, he went ahead and did it. It didn't work. He came and met me. He said, anytime you talk to me next time, I'll listen to you. I said, see, man of God is not my title. They don't learn this one in theology. It's God that anointed me for this purpose. See, a man of God speaks inspired words. It's not only when a prophet stands up. You know, some people have misconception of a prophet. They think prophets are funny looking people. Thank God I'm wearing bright socks today. Praise God. But some people have this picture of a prophet, of somebody who is always spooky, serious, doesn't laugh. They even think we don't watch football. I watched Nigeria's match yesterday. It was a great goal. And I'm still a man of God. People even think prophets are people who talk fast and speak King James language. Does Seer The Spirit of the Lord says. There are different ways of operation. But sometimes a prophet can be talking to you in a regular conversation. Are we following now? So in the Old Testament, they call seers. Now, do we still have prophets in the New Testament? Yes. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 13, let me show you. Because some people keep wondering, are there prophets in the New Testament? Yes, we still have prophets in the New Testament. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Are we part of the same church? How come some churches today, there are no prophets there? Not like they are not there, but they don't even know. Because of ignorance. Some people fight it. So they believe there are no prophets. They are prophets. There are still prophets in the church today. Even some of our churches we call Orthodox churches, there are prophets there. There is no church where God does not place prophets. And I will show you. So he said there were certain prophets and teachers. One of them is Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger. Amen. Lucius. Or Niger. Lucius. Of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and in the present church, one who is called Arametokula. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. So there are New Testament prophets. There are New Testament prophets. Ephesians chapter 4. I need to break this down so some of you know where we are going. Because there are extremes to fall into. And I'll show you the extreme. He who descended is also he who ascended above, far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Next verse. And he himself, referring to Jesus, gave some. That means out of all of us that are saved, he picked some to be who? Then some to be? He didn't say prophet. Prophets. Some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, what is the difference between the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament prophet? In the Old Testament prophet, the people were not born again. They didn't have the Holy Ghost living inside them. So what did they do? Anytime they needed to know God's will, they will go to their guide. In the New Testament, you don't go to the prophet. In the New Testament, you go to the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. But God sends you a prophet. Now, people who have prophetic ministry, this is what they try to do. They try to act like Old Testament prophet. They want people coming to them to even pay some money so that they can give them a word for the week. Anybody who sells a prophetic word didn't receive it from God. Any prophet that intimidates you that what he says, you must hold it. It's not of God. You are quiet. Some of you prophets have put you in fear. No. New Testament prophets don't put you in fear. The Spirit of Christ does not keep men bound. He loosens men. Listen, if I tell you a word, you have a right to refuse it. If I say this is what God says, I should tell you. You have a right to say, I don't want it. At least me, I know what he told me. So the New Testament prophet is a gift. The Old Testament prophet was a guide. So the prophets in the New Testament, listen. You see, all these apostles and prophets and gifts that God has given as evangelists, pastors, and teachers, their primary work is to preach and teach. So my primary work, though I'm a prophet of God, my primary work in this church is to teach you God's word. So that your eyes are open to know who you are and what you have. I didn't hear you say amen. So go to John 14, 16 now. Let me show you. So you don't need to, if you say, I want to see my prophet in the context of seeing a man of God, that's good. But if you want to see a prophet in the context of consultancy, something's wrong. Listen, people are making money from that. I was in South Africa and I ministered somewhere with a couple of other ministers. And there's this Ghanaian there. He just said, look, Pastor Arame, I wish my elder brother would come and see you. We've been having issues. Said, you prayed for me and look at what happened in my life. I know if my elder brother comes to see you, all these problems will be solved. He said, but there's a place he goes to. The man has consultancy days once a month. And the equivalent in naira that you pay to see him is not less than 150,000 naira. And as you are coming there, you don't have time to be asking him how his family is doing. Because you are timed. You would think he's exaggerated until I saw on my way, close to Karo, Professor and so and so. I'm not the one that called him. Professor and so and so. Personal prophecy time is included as one of the packages for the week. Maybe it works for him and the people who go there. I'm not fighting that. But that's not how God set it up in the New Testament. You know that work. You know the work of that prophet is to teach the people to know who they are in Christ and what God has made available to them.
Amen.
It is his work when God gives him a word for them to deliver it to them. He's a gift to them, not a guide. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Do I have such people here? How many of you know the Holy Ghost? It says, but you know him, for he dwells with you, Kai, and will be in you. So if you're born again and you're seated here this morning, I want to announce to you, he knows you. I say he knows you. He's with you. And much more, he's in you. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in you. Jesus said he's in you. When you are going to that business, going for that business, he's with you. Not just with you, he's also in you. When you are going to approach your bosses to do a presentation, hallelujah, he's in you and he's with you. Tell anybody, he's in me. And he will be quietly in you if you don't recognize it. When I was in the university, I was going to defend my project. These days, we don't defend projects. They contract them. Well, I can defend what I wrote. And I entered, and my supervisor, she's a prof now. She made a very big mistake. She, all through the process, we're collecting data and running analysis and all that. There was something I was supposed to use as a fixed item. We're using it all along as a variable input. I don't know how to explain beyond that, you know. Well, just a variable input, and it was going to affect my whole reading and everything that I did. So this external supervisor comes and sits, and he's going through my work, and I see all this panel of professors and doctors sitting there, and I'm just sitting there. And guess the only thing, as the man went through it, he came to a place I frowned. You know, when you are defending a project, and the external supervisor starts squinking, something is wrong. You know, he was just going and, you know, he said, okay. He now, because you bring copies. And there's this man that is a very difficult man. I won't call his name because he might be related to you. So difficult. And when he went through it, you know, every other person was satisfied. I didn't even see this particular issue. You know, I said, excuse me, there's something I want to, you say your name is what? I said, Arome. I said, hey, Arome, how did you, and he was faulting it. You know what? I remembered the Holy Spirit is in me. While I was sitting outside waiting for that to be called in, because they had turned two people out to go and do their work all over again, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. As I sat there, as I was going in, God gave me a word. Sarah, do not be afraid. I will give you a tongue of a learner to speak a word in season to him that is weary. So anybody that is weary, they have an answer for them. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I have ordained strength. As I sat there, those were the two scriptures I entered with. As he started asking me those questions, I just saw my error. I just saw the mistake. So they were arguing among themselves. I was praying in tongues under my breath. As I was praying, the answer came up. He now said, so why did you use that as a variable input? I said, sir, based on the sample and the data and the community we're working with, we couldn't get the kind of population you're looking for. So most of the people I did, you know, carried my survey out with, most of the things they use were just for a particular season. So they didn't have them as fixed. Because when you are dealing with people who produce poultry, who produce not more than 100 birds a week, a year, you can't ask them to be buying something that is going to serve a long term. Some of you don't still know what I'm saying, but by the time I was through talking, the external supervisor said, that where did you get that from? This lecturer said, where did you see in any book? Where? And the external supervisor said, no, this is a research center. That's the reason for project. So people can go out and make research. They were arguing among themselves. I just sat there. Are you getting me? This one said, no, it's not correct. That one said, it's correct. This one said, no, you can't take that. This one said, no, we can take it. He has a point. We're going to look at it. We're going to look. Who is your supervisor? I pointed to my supervisor. You know, and she was taking the credit because they said she's the one that directed me to do that. When I was done, God is my witness. It's there. It's there in this day. My supervisor, the external supervisor, gave me an A. Intuitions. Premonitions. When I left, my supervisor came. She hugged me so tight. He said, Aaron, you made me so proud. I said, the Holy Ghost did it. Amen. In my mind. So he will be with us. And he will also be in us. Tell your neighbor, I'm never without the Holy Ghost. He is my greatest advantage. So you have an advantage. You cannot have a Holy Ghost and be stranded. You cannot have a Holy Ghost and fail. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. Go to verse 7. So we have New Testament prophets, but you also have the Holy Ghost where? In you. Can I say? And the Holy Ghost in you is more than any prophet. He's a surer guide. I've seen some people whose lives have been confused, especially in the area of marriage. Because a prophet said, if Sister Jeanette does not marry Brother Andrew, there's no future. And now, Brother Andrew and Sister Jeanette are so sad and angry with the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that put them in this situation. If you want to marry, go and look around. Yeah? The Bible doesn't say you should close your eye and pray. Say, watch and pray. As you are praying, you are watching, you are looking. Then the Holy Spirit will be. And allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. Because he can see things inside that man that you don't know. Beyond the lady's makeup, the Holy Ghost knows the makeup. Do you understand me? So you need to trust the Holy Ghost. See, I will never force you to marry who you don't want to marry. And I will not be angry with you for marrying who you want to marry. Because I am already married. You know, some people say, you didn't marry this person, so I'm not happy with you. So what? Are you God? Even the Bible says, if a man's wife dies, he's free to marry who he wants in the Lord. He's free. Even God says you are free to marry who you want in the Lord. God. I won't lie. There are people that I feel are made from heaven. But since I've not been to heaven, I can't tell. You know, you look at the cup, you say, wow, this was just perfect like that. Until they start having issues like that. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The Holy Ghost is in you. He's with you. But the Bible says when he manifests himself, it's to your profit. So the Holy Spirit will be in you, but the profit is when he manifests himself. A madman cannot carry a demon and you will not know. You might not know now, but you eventually know. Because before you know it, that demon in that person will begin to do what? Manifest. Will begin to manifest. In the same way, you shouldn't carry the Holy Ghost and people do not know. With time, he will begin to do what? He will begin to manifest. And the Bible says the prophet, the place of prophet is in the place of manifestation. So where the greater ignorance is that we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us And we don't know when he manifests, how he manifests. This is what Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When he says, concerning what? Spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. That means ignorance can stop you from recognizing the manifestations of the Spirit. And it's sad that in some churches, they will mock it. When the Holy Spirit is moving some place, they say, hey, stop that. A man of God told a story of how he went, how he saw Jesus in a vision. He went to a church and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So the church held him and threw him out of the church. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. They threw him out. So he was lying outside in his vision. As he turned, lo and behold, Jesus was lying next to him. So he said, thank God, Jesus, you are here. Please, help me enter that church so I can continue this message. He said, they've thrown me out here for a very long time. That's how I've been here also, waiting for it. That's a cemetery. That's why you see some believers don't have results in their life. And when you throw the Holy Ghost out, the devil opens a door for you to come. That's why in churches where there are no manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, in the lives of Christians where there are no manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, what do? They resort to other means. Because man was never designed to operate without the supernatural. That's why we even have pastors today who are involved in all kinds of diabolic things. So 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, underlying spiritual gifts. And this is where we begin to round up. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. That word spiritual gifts there is the word charismata. From where we get charis is the word grace. Now, when Paul said, good. When Paul used this phrase, actually, if you check the original translation, I don't want to bore you with Greek. If you check the original text, it doesn't say concerning spiritual gifts. It actually says concerning spirituals. So let me put it this way. Concerning spiritual things, concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be ignorant. The word spiritual is the word charismata, from where we get the word charis, where we get the word grace. Do you understand now? Now, language and phraseology that Paul uses is a language that was popular in his time because it was a pagan term. When pagans say, because in Paul's days there were pagans, and they will say, this man has received something spiritual. And when they use the word spiritual, what they are saying is that he has received grace. In our own present day, we use terms like okpo. So Paul was saying concerning juju things, concerning jazz, I don't want you ignorant. Concerning grace, I don't want you to be ignorant. And you know there's a lot of ignorance in the church concerning Christian jazz. Some people don't even like to talk about, they say, you know, my problem with some of these churches is that they're spooky. Bros, if you are not spooky, the spooky man will direct you. That's why some of you are doing ordinary Christianity in the office and they are sacking you. They've sacked you on 4 jobs. By now you have not realized. Can't you see why you have been in one position for too long? One day God shall change. One day the Lord's going to visit me and go and change my situation. Listen, it's lack of understanding of spiritual things. Our pastor in Boko asked someone to come and do some work on his electrical, you know, the electrical stuff in his house had issues. So he asked someone to come and fix it. So they had to trace it into the ceiling. Lo and behold, there was a pot in the roof with all kinds of things and charm tied. So the person had to ask, sir, are you the one that kept the pot here? He said, pot? I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago, there was a pot. They brought them down. So you don't know the people you meet every day. Every day you are meeting occultic people, shaking hands with them. Some of them, they wear better suits than I'm wearing, speak clean English. They are well arranged. How are you doing? Fine. You have an idea, you bring it, bright proposal. You typed it in the best business center here. They gave you massive packaging. By the time you bring it to the office, they are seeing it as trash, paper, trash, 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 trash. You're dealing with such people every day. Because the world we are looking at is saturated with evil. And you want to live your life without an understanding of spiritual things. They used to tell us that what you do not know doesn't hurt you. It's a lie. What you don't know is what is hurting you. Ignorance has never been an advantage. Someone says ignorance is bliss. Yes, till you die. Tell anybody, it's good to know. So what is spiritual? They believe that if God endows you, you will have supernatural abilities to do things. Grace, supernatural ability, comes upon a man either to see, to know, or to do. Anywhere you see people involved in spiritual things, these are the three things they are looking for. Either they want to know something you don't know. Either they want to see something you cannot see. Or they want to do what? They want to do something you cannot do. So I have the Holy Ghost. He helps me to say, to see, and to do. So the grace of God is manifested through the manifestations of His Spirit. Is that okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Oh, hallelujah. So this week, you are going to, this whole month, as we study these things, and one of the things I'm doing in this series is to help you apply these things not only in church. Because some people think the only place the manifestation of the Spirit takes place is in church. You are going to be experiencing them on your job.
Amen.
You're going to be on your everyday life.
Amen.
You will know how, you'll be able to interpret spiritual things. You'll be able to interpret it. You'll be able to interpret it. One Christian comedian. Okay, he told someone the story. The person told me, but I know him. They invited him to Makurdi. And he was the governor, former governor. I think the wife put up a show and invited them. And he was the only Christian comedian there. And they called him up. They made a lot of noise. They shouted. They said, ah, let's welcome someone. So he just came up. And when he came up, he cracked the first joke. And the place was flat. You know what I mean by flat? He cracked the second one, flat. Then he reached into his archives and pulled another one, flat. So the people just started clapping. You know what that clap means? Thank you, you can go now. As he was leaving, one of the comedians standing next now told his friend that he no wash face where he won't come stand here. So he overheard it. Some of you don't know what I said. For those of you coming from UK, what I just said, what I just said is that he said he didn't wash his face well and he wants to stand here. Meaning there is a place they bath apart from your bathtub. That's why people get involved in fraternities. They are looking for something. They want to know something. They want to be able to do things, to have an edge. You know, there are two extremes with spiritual things. The first is the extreme of being overly conscious of the devil, that you don't know God. People are always talking about the Antichrist. They don't even know the Christ. Somebody was asking me the other day, that Pastor, do you know anything about eschatology? I said, yeah, a bit. He said, world events, all these things that are coming out. I said, I don't know those things. He said, well, I said, when they will be happening, I'll be out of here. I don't want to bother myself with things that happen in my absence. I want to know the Christ. Somebody say, the Antichrist, is he going to be Thief Jukun or is he going to be Fulani? I don't know. Is he a nigga? I don't know. I don't know where he's going to come from. Somebody even said that the scriptures say that he's already in the world. Okay, thank God, that means I'll soon leave. But I don't know. Am I trying to find out the place of his birth? No, I already know where the Christ was born. Because if you don't know the Christ, you can't tell the Anti. So I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Did you see that word grace? That's what Paul is saying. For the spiritual thing that was given to you. Then look at what he said that grace was. Verse 5. Being that you were what? Enriched in everything by him. In all utterance. And what? What is utterance? What is knowledge? Knowing. So what was he saying? The grace of God has been abundantly given to you. What was the purpose? So that you will be what? Enriched in what? Everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Now let me write this down so you can write it. Those of you like to write. The word enriched is the word plosios. Spell it anyhow. It's a Greek word. Nobody's marking it. It's a word plosios. And it means incredible abundance, extreme wealth. Are you with me? Plosios is spelled P-L-O-U-S-I-O-S. I don't know where I'm going to write it again, but you can write it down. And it's where we get the English word plutocrat. How many of you have heard of a plutocrat? You know, a plutocrat is somebody who is he's so wealthy, he doesn't even know how rich he is. He can't measure his wealth. He begins to forget how much. I don't think there are many in the world. But that's where we get the word plutocrat. It means to be abundant. So grace, the grace of God, the okpo of God, the jazz of God, the imbuvungo of God. Are you listening to me? Is what is abundant to the believer. You are enriched with it. That's a good place to say amen. You are enriched with it. In everything, the second word there is the word everything, and is the word panty. Every minute detail. That means the grace of God is available to you for every minute detail of your life. It's not just for church services. As you are going on the road, there's grace for it. As you enter that shop, there's grace for it. That means you can experience the workings of miracles on your job. You can experience the word of knowledge on your business. Listen, one of the things that's going to happen to some of you at the end of this teaching is that while you are sleeping, you will have visions of the night that will deliver ideas and concepts to you. Some of you will see, you'll be able to tell fraudsters, not by outward look, because the Bible calls it a word of knowledge. It didn't mean a word of information. You'll be able to look at certain things. Everything might look perfect on the outside, but inside, you can tell something is amiss. So that all these 419 that are walking everywhere, you know, they are such people. They will meet you. Oh, my brother, I came from Senegal. Then go back to Senegal. I met a woman met me once and she was just telling me of how they gave her a contract. As she was talking, I said, they've cheated you. See, that thing is 419. He said, how can it be 419? The person knows my name. Because somebody knows your name does not mean he's genuine. These days, finding people's name is not difficult. That's how one called me one day. I said, Pastor Rami, how is the ministry? I said, fine. How is Boko? I said, fine. He called the name. I couldn't place a face to the name. He said, I remember those days when he used to preach to us now. I used to be in BCC. I said, You know what I'm saying? There's this thing I want to do. As he was talking, I said, they've come. I said, what is my wife's name? He said, why are you asking such questions now? I said, just tell me what's my wife's name. He said, is he not Noka? I said, the fire of God will burn your tongue. You know how those things happen. Some of those will receive grace on their tongue to speak. See, it is possible to come to a place where when you speak, everybody will be calm. It's possible. God said, I will give you a tongue and a wisdom. Your enemies will not be able to gainsay. See, some of you will enter into offices in this Abuja. You will enter into mega places. The only thing you need is a tongue. When you step into those places, as you begin to talk, people will begin to connect with the depths of God. Did you hear when Joseph was talking to Pharaoh? This is a 17-year-old boy talking to the ruler of the world. But as he was talking to Pharaoh, something was happening to Pharaoh. This is what the magicians and the studious men of his time could not crack. As he stood there, that's why I say it's grace. It's not because Joseph is very intelligent. It's because at that moment, while Joseph was standing there, something came to him. Insight came to him. He said, oh king, only God can reveal this thing that you have seen. There are going to be 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. But in those 7 years of abundance, this is what you need to do. You see, the wisdom of God through him was providing solution to a problem that had not come. He had seen it in the future. There was, as he was talking, 17-year-old boy, as he was talking, what did Pharaoh say? Pharaoh looked at his economic team and said, who can we put in charge of this thing to run this enterprise? Okay, he was 30. Who can run this thing better than this man in whom we have seen the spirits of the gods? That means that thing that Joseph was talking that looked very normal. How many of you know it was coming from something very deep? Those are the things we call intuitions. We call them premonitions. They are not a, see, this is beyond a college degree or university degree. This is that moment when something begins to flow through you. Are you getting me? And then as you are standing in the moment, you know exactly what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. Never stranded. You need such a tongue. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Some of you, we need knowledge that is hidden. Your boss is there. Something that has been troubling this company. How many of you know Leke Alda? I was listening to him. He said a prominent bank called him and asked him, can you solve this problem for us? He said, as he was there, the Spirit of God said, say yes. He said, yes. He said, give me time. He said, when he went, he didn't know how to go about it. He said, as he was worshiping one day in the morning, praying and worshiping, all of a sudden, God showed him Paul's missionary journey. He said, don't ask me how. He said, and I saw where Paul started his missionary journey, how he moved through scripture. God said, if you follow that missionary journey, you will find a track for this bank to follow. That is the answer. He said, when he came, the day he did the presentation to the bank, all the directors, they stood up. They said, where did you get this from? They said, this is what we have been looking for. You have just cracked it for us. And it's one of the leading banks today. That is how that bank suddenly exploded. So one of the men met him, one of the major directors met him and said, intelligent men like you, I want to introduce you to our circle. Said, no, you're a very smart man. So I'll connect you to some people, very powerful people, rich people. The man wanted to introduce him to a cult. You know what he told the man? He said, what you have been inside could not produce an answer. You come and meet me. I want to introduce you to some intelligent persons. So you've been sitting here for years. You didn't have an answer. He said, you come and meet me. I will show you. You know why? Christ is not just your redeemer. Christ is not just your lover. Christ is not just your sugar daddy. He is the wisdom of God to you. He is the premonition of God to you. He is the intuition of God to you. He is the super divine ability of God to you. That's why some of us boldly say, this city belongs to us. That's why we are saying what we say the way we say it, because we have put our hands on something. And we know the land has been subdued before. Abundant grace has been given to you. Now begin to receive it in the name of Jesus. Rabata Santalabaka. Imbranto sofregedo Santalaba Kalema. Limbranta Sandalabraka Labranto sofregedo Santalaba. Imbranta Sandalabraka Labranto sofregedo.
Begin to worship God this morning. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. Mando, somebody begin to give God praise this morning. Give God praise. Give him praise. Mankala brakato sufrigato sufrigato bagan. Mankala brakala brakala bagala 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 bagala. Enkala brakala bo sefra. Rambano sandala bahalemo. Begin to worship God this morning. Embranto sufrigale bahala makala brakala bagala bagala. Enkala brakala branto sufrigale brakato seka.
Thank you for listening. Messages are absolutely free. For downloads, please visit us at www.christfamilyministries.org. That's www.christfamilyministries.org. Or call 090-300-00413 for info on ministry materials. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.